I'm Kathy Geary, host of Now and Then. Your support sustains the news, music, and local voices that make up WJFF, especially during these unusual times. Listeners like you tell us they love what we're doing. But remember, it's only possible because of your generosity. Help keep it going. Give now at WJFFradio.org. And thank you for supporting public radio in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania.
This is Radio Catskill, your community radio station. I'm Jason Dole. They say we got by with a little help from our friends. And some Broadway friends of Bethelwood Center for the Arts will perform an evening of songs from the 60s tomorrow night. Maybe we'll even include that one, getting by with a little help from their friends. Virtual concert is called Broadway Boosts Bethel, and joining us now, one of the Broadway performers who will be belting out a tune, it's Anthony Kafala. Anthony, thanks for joining us.
Hey there, how you doing?
Doing all right. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Almost. No one else does. It's Safala, but yeah, I'll take anything.
I want to get it right. I apologize. So
yeah, no worries.
So Broadway's closed until at least June, I'm sorry to say. And you're a Broadway veteran. You've worked in shows like Mamma Mia, the Tina Turner musical, Curious Incident of the Dog, Nighttime. How are you holding up?
Oh, it depends on the day. It's been a little bit of a ride, but not so bad. I'm trying to do new things. I'm trying to keep busy as much as I can.
Are you in touch with your colleagues or your former colleagues, like people that you would have been in shows with, and you have a feel for how the community is doing?
Yeah, I think we're all kind of, I don't know, maybe trying to try out new things because, you know, it says when we're coming back possibly, but we don't really know. So I think we're all just kind of flexing our muscles and trying to do different things and taking lots of online classes and lots of stuff like that. So everyone I've been in touch with is like trying to do something new at the moment because who knows when we're going to be back doing what we want to be doing, you know?
And for an industry like yours, and to me, this is similar to Bethel Woods. You know, Bethel Woods hasn't been able to put on the big shows that they'd usually have on their big stage, concerts. And people think, oh, well, you know, you can't have the concerts. But that impacts so many other workers that people might not ordinarily think about, from, you know, the people that work concessions, the people that help with parking. And in Broadway, it's not just those of you who are up on the stage. It's the people that are behind the scenes. There's the people that are the musicians in the pit. This really impacts like so many different fields.
Well, that's why it's so complicated. If it was just about like keeping the audience safe, there's ways to do that, but it's not just the audience. You could take out seats, but even like in a Broadway house, even if you sell out, the houses are so small, sometimes that's not even enough money. So taking out seats isn't an option. But even if you found a way to make the audience safe, backstage we have like 5 stage managers. We have the dressers who have to change people in like seconds and dealing with sweat, and then the singers and dancers are on stage singing and like into each other's faces. It's like it's all encompassing, and yeah, even concessions. It's kind of daunting to think what we need to be doing to make it okay to come back. And I don't know how to do it without a big fix. So,
and in super small spaces in some old buildings, in some cases, some are newer, but space is always a premium in Manhattan. It's just one thing after another. My goodness.
Yeah, those houses are so tiny that other countries are like, oh, we took out seats. They're like, oh, awesome. Then we would make no money. There's no way of maintaining a show like that would that cost millions of dollars to run. Then even if you're at capacity, sometimes you can't even make the money. I was working on Pretty Woman, the musical, and we sold out all the time. We still closed. We weren't making enough money. It's just like sometimes you just can't. And taking out seats is like not, unfortunately, not an option. I wish that it was, you know.
Financially, it's a non-starter.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, and then there's the impacts on you, on your avocation, on what you do as a performer, as an artist, you know, for your livelihood and what it means to you. How important is it for you to keep performing, even if it's virtually, like this event for Bethel Woods?
Yeah, well, it's nice. I mean, there's not much going on. So anytime someone asks, hey, do you want to do this? I mean, me and everyone I know is just kind of jumping on board. Even if it's like free thing, it's like nothing is off the table because everyone just wants to be creative. Everyone wants to be productive and have something to wake up to do. like for this thing, I did a video and I like, you know, I don't often do video editing or sound engineering. So I had to like kind of do all this myself, and it was fun. I had a good time. It got me out of bed and got me busy doing something for a couple hours a day. And I felt like I was achieving something, and it was nice. So I think a lot of people are that aren't doing anything right now are just grateful for the opportunity to be visible and be productive.
Yeah. And for all the negativity around the pandemic, one recurring thing I hear from all the different people in different walks of life that I talk to is this recurring theme of just being forced to get creative. Like, you would not have ordinarily done the tech end of something like right. this, but there you are. And it's just one more thing that you get to do.
Oh yeah. I've like taken some like coding classes online, studying up on how to like write a novel, like took out my guitar and try to learn. Like, it's lots of different things. Like, what can I do today? What's going to get me feeling like I'm actually doing something in a time when I can't do anything?
Right, right. So let's talk about this event at Bethel Woods. It's called Broadway Boosts Bethel. What song are you singing? And if that can be given away, and how did you come to be singing it?
I'm doing a Beatles song, and I just picked out like Here Comes the Sun, because I figure it's apropos of the moment and hopeful. And that's what I did. I was like, as soon as I heard about it, I was like, oh, Here Comes the Sun. Great. Sounds great. It's all 60 songs. People are singing, I don't know, some people are singing some things from Hair, but it's mostly 60s music, not musicals. Two of our friends are doing stuff from Hair, but everyone else is singing. I'm not sure I haven't seen the whole thing yet. So I'm doing that. And yeah, it's tomorrow at 7, and it's nice to get it on its feet. I'd be excited to see the whole thing. And our friend BD Wong is in it, and his partner's been doing all our video editing. So it's kind of nice just to work with friends. All my friends are doing it. So it's nice to be in contact with them and pulling it all together. And my friend Lori and Don, who you had on last week, are like friends of mine from Mamma Mia. We did the show for years and years together, and they actually live not too far from us, and we never get to see them, but it's nice to be able to be in contact with them as well, which is nice.
If you're in a show, just as a side, I'll get back to Bethel with you. If you're in a show like Mamma Mia, like, what's it like if you hear like an ABBA song come on the radio? Like, how do you react?
Oh, well, it depends on the show. My career has been all jukebox musicals, like from Huey Lewis, Bryan Adams, Gloria Estefan. I hear a lot of it, and I always, when you're doing a show, you hear it everywhere. So no matter what you're doing, I would hear Dancing Queen like in the supermarket, like incessantly. But I had a really great experience with Mamma Mia for all those years, and I did it for 6 years. I love it. And when I hear it, I'm like, oh, and it kind of makes me a little sad sometimes, but I love it. But if what I was doing On Your Feet, it was like a less magical experience. I loved it still, but when I hear like the conga or like 1, 2, 3, I'm like, oh, here we go. I got to hear the conga again.
So there's like a little bit of stress. You get like the tingling. You're like, oh, here it is.
Yeah, what should I be doing? Yeah, exactly.
I was just in one like community production of Jesus Christ Superstar, and even that, like, if I hear anything from that, I'm like, oh.
Oh, you hear? Yeah, you hear.
What's going on?
Place.
You know, I lived it. I lived it for like a year. That was enough for me. But I get, maybe that's a testament to the power, the quality of ABBA's songs that they can still hold up after 6 years.
I love them beforehand, and then I got to sing those harmonies, and they're just amazing songwriters and people. I just love getting to sing the music and getting to meet them. I was like living my dream. I went to Sweden a couple of years ago and went to the ABBA Museum. I was just in heaven. I loved it.
That's fantastic. Do you have any similar connection to the 60s? You know, Bethel Woods is where Woodstock happened. Have you ever been up to Bethel Woods way, or do you know much about Woodstock?
No, I don't. Before, I just moved out of the city. I still work there, but I moved out of the city about a year and a half ago to go on tour with the show. And, I'm from Schenectady, New York. I lived in Manhattan since 1997. I had no idea that Woodstock concert did not happen in Woodstock, New York. I was so confused. My husband actually got a job at Buffalo Woods, and then now I'm realizing what it is. Oh my God, why didn't I know about this? So a part of this concert, which is great, is a lot of the Broadway people that I know have no idea what Buffalo Woods is, even though it's literally like so close to Manhattan. It's not, you know, it's like a stone's throw. So it's nice that they'll be able to like learn about that and maybe come up and see some concerts. I want to see concerts. I didn't get to this year, but I hope next year I can see some concerts, you know. They're like Dave Matthews Band, who I'm a big fan of, and they play there every year, it seems. So I want to go. I want to see it.
Okay, and there's a museum for you to check out here too, and functions essentially like a time machine. You go in one end, and you wind up going back to the 60s, and by the time you come out the other end, they get you back to modern time somehow. So
yeah, and they have a virtual tour going on now that I got to be a guinea pig and try out a couple weeks ago, and now it's up and running, and you take an iPad with you, and it's all AI, and so you walk through all the grounds, and there's like a recording. It's really awesome, and it puts you right like at the middle of the stage. You get to see what that was like. It was really awesome. I really enjoyed it.
So, like, full disclosure, I worked at Bethel Woods kind of semi behind the scenes for a few years, and you know, on concert nights, you would see, you know, the performers would come. And the people that travel with the bands, and they would like explore it. And for some of them, it was a big deal that they were performing in the same place where Woodstock happened, where there's this famous film, and like, oh, they're coming to this place that has a historic connection, whether they were artists from the 60s or just even contemporary artists, even in different genres. And now, in a sense, you're playing that original place too, that has such musical history.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. Like, as a performer, you always feel like that kinship and that connection to other performers and other experiences. And I remember I was on tour for a long time in my early career, and we'd go to these towns and these theaters where, like, people like Dolly Parton and, like, all Tanya Tucker, like, all these, like, people that I had heard of my whole life had performed. I'm like, they did it on the stage. And now when I go up to Bethel Woods and I sit in the lawn and I look at where the stage was, I'm like, there's so much, the energy is still there, and you can still, it blows my mind, all the people that were there and what happened and the whole history of it. I watch all the documentaries, I watch all that stuff. I feel hugely excited to be a part of it, you know.
And I'm glad to hear that excitement, and I'm glad that you got to perform again in whatever capacity you get to perform in. Do you want to just remind folks one more time about where and how this is happening and how they can find out about it?
Yeah, again, it's the Broadway Boost Bethel, and it's tomorrow at 7. And you can go online, too. It's BethelWoodsCenter.org/Broadway. And it's a $10 suggested donation. But if you don't have $10, like a lot of us don't now, it's free. So just watch it, or you can give more, give whatever you want to give. It's just kind of helping them out, helping us help them. And it's going to be fun. We're sharing the music again, and it's going to be a real good time, I think.
Okay, it's great. Well, I'm glad you talked to us. I'll let you know, we're going to go out with Richie Havens, who's the performer that opened up the Woodstock Festival, and I've got him singing the song that you'll be singing tomorrow evening, covering the Beatles, Here Comes the Sun. I'm so glad that we got to talk. Anthony Cefala, actor doing Broadway Boost Bethel, thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
Little darling, it's been a long